Welcome, everybody. I'm sure there are still a few people who are signing on right now, but we'll get going with the introductions. I'm Amy Jeffries. I'm the news director at WRKF in Baton Rouge, and I'm happy to be the small station rep on the Pundi board. Spring has sprung, and so here we are talking about what to do with summer interns for the next hour or so. We'll definitely leave some time at the end to take your questions, so feel free to type them at any point in the chat box, and I will moderate those. With us to lead the conversation and share their insights this morning is George Bodarkey. He is the news director at WFUV in New York, and also president of Prindy. WFUV happens to be a AAA music station with an award-winning newsroom, and with the exception of George and the assistant news director, all the newsroom staff are students. So he's quite an experience working, quite a lot of experience working with and training young journalists. Many of you probably know Doug Mitchell, who is always out there looking for talent and thinking about recruitment and storytelling and how to make sure that public media stays great and important. He founded Next Gen Radio and the Journalism Diversity Project, which are both ongoing, and has been very much a part of building the talent pipeline, having jumped in when the interns wanted more out of NPR's internship program, for example. And Anne-Marie DeWad, who is joining us also, I'm happy to say, is in my shop. She is our morning edition host and a great reporter at WKF. She just won a regional Murrow Award for what was pretty much her first feature that she did here. So she came in and hit the ground running for sure, having graduated from CUNY's journalism master's program, and as part of that, she was an intern at WHYY, and we'll certainly be sharing some of those experiences this morning. So I've got George's screen up here. So George, I'll start with you, and just, you know, tell us a little bit about the internship program at WFUV. From what I understand, the internships there kind of start with a job description and applications that come in accordingly.
They do. I'll walk you through a little bit of our newsroom, and I've been with WFUV now as part of the professional staff for 14 years, but my experience with WFUV actually started as a student working at the radio station when I was in college at Fordham University, so it's really come full circle for me, and no question, a lot of the experience that I had in the newsroom, it allowed me to get my first job as a reporter at an AM radio station in Rockland County. I think the difference now with me being here compared to when I was a student here is that our program is much more structured, and you're seeing a view of our newsroom here. We have four workstations on one side, and from the other side we have three additional workstations. So the way it works here at WFUV is, I say we operate just like any other newsroom. We are a small station by Prindy standards, as Amy pointed out. We only have two full-time professionals, myself and Robin Shannon, who's our assistant news director. Robin also hosts the morning news here, so she's on the air between 6 and 9. The way it works is that we work to recruit students here at Fordham University, and we do that through our club fair. A lot of it comes from word of mouth. Some students specifically come to Fordham University because they are aware of the radio station and the opportunities that they can be afforded here. We also reach out to professors at individual classes. On occasion, I will go to classes to let folks know, and that's not just communications classes, poli-sci classes as well. We do have an application process, so you have to apply to work at WFUV. We have an application asking some pretty basic questions about their interests and experience, past experiences at high school and such. And we also do interviews for, which I'll talk about in a second, our workshop. And we do a current affairs quiz when they come in as well to see where their knowledge base is. And of course, you know, students come from varied backgrounds. We have some students who come through the doors here not knowing how a bill becomes a law. And that's okay. We always say that's okay. Never be ashamed of the knowledge that you don't have. We're here to help bring knowledge to you. Just there are never stupid questions at all, and we want people to always feel comfortable saying, "I don't know." you know, anything about this or how it works. Are they all communications majors? I sort of alluded to this. No, they're not. We encourage all majors to come through our doors. We have lots of English majors, a lot of political science majors. We have an economics major right now. But on any given semester, we have between 12 and 20 young journalists working in our newsroom. Right now we have 20, and that's a combination of paid staff and what we call interns, and I'll explain that in a moment. But training starts with a workshop here at WFUV. You go through that process of applying, interviewing, current affairs quiz, and then we invite folks to take part in a workshop. On any given, we start this in the fall semester. Sometimes I can have as many as 30 in my workshop because I know that they will weed themselves out over the course of the first few weeks of our workshop. They realize it's not for them. It's not what they expected. They just wanted to be a star on the radio. They didn't realize it was real work involved in journalism, and they phase themselves out. And usually at the end of a semester, if I have as many as 30, I might end up with a core of about 10 to 15 who stick with us. So here is a look at our workshop. You can see it. It runs through a lot of the fundamentals of journalism. You know, from newsroom job descriptions, ethics in journalism, you know, generating story ideas, interviewing, how to put a newscast together, sound gathering, feature reporting, and news delivery and announcing. So we walk them through that over the course of an hour and a half on Wednesdays. And from there, they intern with us for one semester. And after that internship phase is over, because the purpose of the internship for us before they move into paid jobs here and their work study jobs is that really we want to make sure that they're operating independently over the course of that semester. They're learning the ropes, understanding how to write, understanding how to gather audio, understanding how to develop stories and pitch stories. We spend tons of time on helping them to on story visioning and execution. And we start them off pretty simply. We start them off with doing cut copy stories, sending them out to gather some audio and coming back here and writing around the tape, if you will. And then we move them on to doing wraps and then super spots. And as I mentioned, after the internship, they do move into work study jobs. Here at WFUV, we have about 70 students who work at the radio station compared to around 30 full-time professionals. They work across departments in the newsroom. As I mentioned, we have anywhere between 10 and 20 on any given time. We also provide them with a news contract because we find that many of these folks have never had an internship before. Many of them have never had a job before, and we really not only teach them journalism skills, but we teach them how a workplace operates and understanding you can't just not show up because you have an exam and tell us later, or you know your mom's coming in for the day and you're going to hang out in the city and you're not coming into work. So this contract, and I'm happy to provide this to anyone who asks for it, you know, really runs through some basics of what it takes to have a job, providing at least 2 weeks notice for any time off, preventing campus activities and internships and other jobs from interfering with their shifts at WFUV, taking responsibility for station equipment, staying focused and working diligently, to follow the directives of the news director and to the news managers, to avoid writing extra hours on the timesheet, to dress respectably, and this is really important, especially for us, if the summer months come on, people can't come to work in shorts and flip-flops and t-shirts. We may be sending them out to, Mayor de Blasio's news conference or Senator Schumer or anywhere in New York City where shorts and flip-flops are not going to be appropriate. And for the same reason, we don't know who's going to walk through our doors at any given time, so we want to make sure that people are dressed business casual, as much as that possibly can be here on a college campus. They're also required to volunteer 4 hours during our fund drives. So that's fund drives, big commitment. So they have to volunteer 4 hours to assist during fund drives. They have to attend professional development sessions and news meetings, and they have to craft their class schedules to allow free blocks of time. They do everything. They newscast, they report, they host, they produce, they do social media, they podcast, which I'll talk about in a moment. We're launching a new podcast here. And now we're venturing into video. I mean, one thing that's enormously important for us, we need to make sure that they're engaged and at the end of my little slideshow here, I talk about some of the challenges that we're facing, and that is certainly competing interests and students who want to do everything and are interning at other places and not just focus on WFUV. And clearly, in our industry, as we all know, we need to know how to do everything, and we're now incorporating video. I struck up a relationship with BronxNet, which is our public access television station here in the Bronx, and just they loaned us out a whole bunch of video equipment, and we're going to start doing more of that in our newsroom as well. Here's an example of our news schedule. As you'll see, all of our reporters, so those are the paid staff, and the interns are on the other side. Who's doing the noon newscast? Again, those noon and those PM drive newscasts for us are all student hosted. And then our interns are our day of reporters largely, although we do have them, many of them now working on special projects. Many of those interns now are working on a series on alternative healing, alternative treatments. That's what they're working on over this month. Just to run through some of what works well for us, again, treating our newsroom like any other, even with this large staff of, we operate just like any other newsroom. We just happen to have a staff that is largely made up of undergraduates. We have regular editorial meetings, always looking for teachable moments in all of those meetings. It might be a question of ethics that comes up. Hey, I'd love to do a story about this church that's looking to expand, and it's a little bit controversial in this neighborhood because of this or this. Well, how do you know that? Well, I'm a member of that church. Well, maybe you shouldn't cover that story. It sounds like a good story, but we might need to assign it to somebody else. Questions like that come up all the time in our newsroom. Even the questions of accepting gifts, if a politician were to offer you, buy you lunch, and we talk about that all the time. We do a lot of mock phone interviews and mock things in our newsroom. We find that really important, making sure people have a script down, are confident when they're dealing with individuals. We have people who are young, and they're going to sound young, but we need to have them sound mature and professional when on the phone with our various lawmakers, and we work really hard to develop that confidence and that skill in them. We'll work to match assignments to interests, particularly at the beginning. Depending on the individual, we'll just sort of have them do lots of day of stuff. But if I find out that somebody's very interested in politics or in the environment, I'll certainly look for opportunities to throw those stories their way. We do weekly vocal coaching sessions, critical for us to make sure that our folks sound the part. Again, they are young. They will sound young, but we want them to sound like reporters. We don't want them on the air, sticking out and having people feel that this is a college radio station. I think the biggest compliments we get on our anchors sometimes is that they can't tell the difference between, a student and a professional on our airwaves. We do regular air check reviews and listening sessions. Again, a lot of the stuff here that I'm running through are things that hopefully are taking place in all newsrooms. Again, I treat it just like any other newsroom, and I think that's what really sets them up for success, is that we are providing them an experience here that they will find anywhere else when they walk out of these doors. We do have job descriptions for all of our jobs, from reporters to producers to newscasters, etc. We also have a hierarchy here where we have two student positions. They're news manager positions. These are people who have been with us for a while, have demonstrated strong leadership ability, have demonstrated strong writing ability, editing ability, and they help us to train the younger staff as well. And it also gives the younger staff something to aspire to when starting out as a freshman. By the time they're a junior, they might be a news manager. And we also really work hard not to call them students because they're not. Not when they're here. I mean, they're learning, certainly, but we want to make sure that they have and they present themselves out in the world against the New York City Press Corps just like any other journalist. I really don't want them to think of themselves as Fordham University students when they're in our newsroom. They are reporters. They are journalists, and that's how they should represent themselves at all times. Yes, they're going to make mistakes. Yes, all of that is in there. But don't consider yourself a student. You are a reporter. You're working as a reporter. Other things that work well, just real quick, we do a lot of special news series to move them beyond the tier two, staged events, press release, press conference stories. A few examples: the new normal, 10 ways life has changed in the 10 years since 9/11. Products or services that were born in New York City. We just had one of our students win an award for a piece she did on Brooklyn's Edible Celebrity, which is a piece on Mr. Potato Head, who was born in Brooklyn. And we just had teen suicide prevention. We have something called Strike a Chord, which is our public service awareness campaign here. And this allows some of our students to delve deeper into stories. And Jeff Colton, who's the senior here, just did a whole series on teen suicide prevention and actually won a few awards for it this year so far, which we're very proud of. Other things that work well, a few years ago, I developed this thing called the Issues Tank. This allowed me an opportunity to take some of my more seasoned reporters with more experience to delve deeper into issues, and they work solely in the Issues Tank. Sarah Kugel and Kate McGee, you might recognize the name Kate McGee. She was one of the first who dove into the Issues Tank, pardon the pun. She's now at KUT in Austin, Texas. And did some, you know, really great journalism on issues of overcrowding in schools and teen pregnancy and male victims of domestic violence. And I would not, you know, entrust the Issues Tank to our, you know, students who are just walking in the door. Those are the folks doing the cut copies, you know, really cutting their teeth. But after 3 or 4 years, you know, I want them to start telling more in-depth stories, and they'll move into the Issues Tank. The Issues Tank is now becoming a podcast, which is great, and we're sort of trying to brand this pretty well, where we're, this podcast, which we just did a pilot, again, all student produced, with me being the executive producer, which is news and information created by a younger audience for a younger audience. They coined it, it's news for the 90s kids, and we're going to be rolling out that podcast within the next couple of weeks. And I already mentioned our video partnership with BronxNet, which is allowing us to go in a different direction. Demonstrated success, mentioned some of the awards. We're very proud of the awards that our folks have won. Here's just a little look at where some of our folks are right now. Kate McGee, as I mentioned, KUT in Austin, Maggie Martin, Alabama Public Radio, Mary Wilson and Ben Allen at ITF. They also had Scott Detrow, who since moved on from there, and some other folks at WNYC. And we have people who also go into television, Alice Gaynor and Jonathan Vigliotti, who was at NBC4, but just got a job as a foreign correspondent in for CBS, and he's moving to London, which is very exciting. Just some testimonials I have on here. You know, our folks often come back and they just tell us that they wouldn't be able to do what they're doing if it weren't for the experience they got here. And again, our hope is that we're treating them just like any other journalist, giving them the skill and the confidence to be able to walk out of here and just do the job. And we hear that time and time again, including Jonathan Migliotti, who had a very nice thing to say about where he got his start as he moves on to an adventure as a foreign correspondent. And even from news directors, we'll hear, and we hope that we can be a pipeline for stations to trust that they will have folks who will walk out of WFUV and are able to do the job. One of our more recent graduates, Veronica Volk, went to XXI in Rochester, and she was, you know, she got hired pretty soon right after graduation, and hopefully is, I hear that she's doing a good job there. Some of today's challenges, and I'll find this with people who start in my workshop. I'll ask, you know, who here listens to radio, and I'll sometimes get very few hands. Who here listens to newscasts on the radio? I'll get very few hands. So, you know, encouraging listening is extremely important in our newsroom. Too focused on digital communication, you know, I think that is something that we're faced with, and that also what that means for us is oftentimes that people don't like to make phone calls. You know, they'll send emails, but they don't make phone calls. And we, you know, there's nothing like, you know, one-to-one communication, really. We need to talk with people, talk about their stories, get out into the communities and talk to people face-to-face. So we do that. I'll send people out just like, you know, any other reporter. Hey, go to this community. Talk to people. What are the issues that they're dealing with? What's going on there? You know, it's not just sending emails and texts. Radio is not always thought of as a viable career path, you know, and I think that has been the case with some of the newer folks coming in. They don't see a future in it, but hopefully over time they start to see more and more of that, particularly in the investments and the growth of public radio. I mentioned some of the competing interests earlier in terms of different platforms, but we're hoping to engage them on all platforms and still encourage them, though, to take other internships and gain experience elsewhere. But we definitely want to make sure that they're making a commitment to WFUV. During the semester, we require them to work 2 days a week. week, 6-hour shifts, so 12 hours a week. That's what work study generally allows them. But in the summer, we'll be having about, I think we have about 10 staying with us with the summer, and they'll be working as many as 30 hours a week. Instant gratification is something, of course, that we also sometimes deal with, and that's, you know, if I'm not on the air tomorrow, I don't want to be here. We hope that those do see that hard work and perseverance and dedication pay off. So that is my spiel, Amy.
Well, thank you for your spiel, and we will get back to some of the points that you made there a little bit later on, and I'll we'll discuss them a little bit more deeply. I'm sure people have questions as well, so feel free to type your questions into the chat box as we go along, and we'll try to get to as many as we can before the end of the hour. Now we'll turn it over to Doug Mitchell, and you know, Doug, I'm hoping you can speak here a bit to some of the engagement challenges that George just mentioned with young people these days, and keeping them engaged and interested and wanting to be in public media, and also talking about, you know, what should the goals of an internship be for the newsroom, for the intern, and how does that get set up and expressed and carried forth?
Okay, well, thanks to everyone, and I'm really glad that they asked me to be a part of this webinar. There's a lot. I've been around a long time, and around NPR for about 25 years, and there's a lot that I can talk about. So it was, as George was talking, I was editing, which is something that we all have to do. So I am the founder and project manager of what I called Next Generation Radio. We started back in 2000. Underneath that was a program called Intern Edition, which we did through the interns at NPR. I have sort of a duality where internally I oversaw a particular part of the intern program, and externally we did boot camps. Right now I also teach a class at Georgetown in field reporting, where I take a collection of 6 or 7 students out to Albuquerque. We spend a week out there as they report on stories and issues out of Native America. And as Amy alluded to, talent agent to the stars. So hello, everyone. Glad to be here. I'm going to run through a quick list of my stars, the people who were former interns and now doing well. This is Alex Cohen, who is the co-host of Take Two at KPCC in Pasadena. She was an intern during the summer of 1999. And she and this fellow, Neil Carruth, who is a senior editor at Planet Money, devised the idea that the intern program needed more, and that meant they wanted to do their own show. So my role in it, I didn't have a role. I wasn't even involved in the interns back in the late 90s. I knew we had them, but they seemed to be people who just managed to know somebody and got in. And so two of the things that happened out of that was they decided to do their own show. They had nobody helping them, and of course I raised my hand. And of course, when you raise your hand, as we all know, that becomes your job. You don't get any extra money for it, but it does become your job. So they did their own show. It was an hour and a half. And because they were very egalitarian, everybody reported. And so the next year, as it became my job, I decided we needed some structure. Alex was the first executive producer, and of course it's no surprise to me now that she's the host out in California, where she's originally from. And it's no surprise to me that Neil, I think he was co-host, one of the editors on the show, he's now at Planet Money, so none of this surprises me at all. So the next year, in 2000, I decided that we needed to have an appointed executive producer at the beginning, we needed to have an editor. We needed to have other editors. Not everybody was going to report, but had the opportunity to report, and this was company-wide. So if you were in finance, if you were in the legal department, no matter where you were, you had an opportunity to participate in Intern Edition. So the second executive producer of Intern Edition was this young lady, Audie Cornish, who was now co-host at All Things Considered. Audie came to us through the National Association of Black Journalists. Audie was just finished up her junior year in the year 2000. She got a scholarship or a travel scholarship through NEBJ. She ended up coming to NPR. I think it was on the national desk. I had several conversations with her. I just decided, because of the way she was, her personality. She's very nice, but takes no crap. So I thought, okay, you make a great producer. You make a great executive producer. So I made her executive producer for that. And Audie also had the opportunity to do the external project, Next Generation Radio, in 2000, where this young lady was also in that group. This is Celeste Headley. She is now host and executive producer of On Second Thought at Georgia Public Broadcasting. As you know, Celeste has done fill-in hosting for what was Day to Day, what was Tell Me More. She was a reporter for NPR out of Detroit. She was co-host of The Takeaway out of New York, and now she's down in Atlanta. On the right, or my right, is Amber Espinosa. She was an intern summer of 2001 at Morning Edition. She was our managing editor for Intern Edition that summer. She was 19, all of 19. She is what I call the quintessential immigrant story. She was born in El Salvador during the Civil War there. Her mother took she and her sister and brought them to California. Her mother, who still today speaks no English, worked as a domestic, worked as an maid, worked as a house cleaner. Amber ended up at Santa Monica Community College, transferred to American University, and I still remember the day when she said she almost didn't apply for an internship at NPR because she thought we didn't take people from community colleges. I remember that. It was very point blank, and it just sort of really, really got me thinking about what the purpose of our internship program was about. Moving along, this is Irene Noguchi. She is a producer and also oversees the interns for the show Forum at KQED in San Francisco. Irene is a lawyer. She got a law degree. I think she did billable hours, paid off her loans, and came back to public radio, where she was in Seattle, then went to Las Vegas, and is now in San Francisco. This is Irva Gunja. She is the senior producer for The Takeaway. She was an intern and managing editor for Intern Edition during the summer of 2006. And till this day, I remember how organized she was. In fact, I think she was one of the most organized people I'd ever met, and I think still remains that way. This is back before Google Documents and cloud-based anything, so she had 30 reporters to keep track of, and she had file folders on every single one of them with infinite details about their ideas and their stories. Again, it doesn't surprise me that she's ended up where she is. Eve Tro was an intern during the summer of 2000. She is now news director at WWNO in New Orleans, having spent some time at Marketplace Money, working as an independent and reporter down in New Orleans. She is now in a leadership position and is doing quite well. This is the new assistant U.S. attorney for the Northern California. This is Marissa Harris. She was an All Things Considered intern in 2005. Marissa was in law school, but she had this hankering for radio. She did radio while she was at Georgetown. But about a month ago, I got a voicemail from a guy from the FBI who was doing a background check on her. And she got the job, and she now, if you have any federal legal problems out in California, you can call Marissa. I got her number. This is Martina Castro, who I met when she was 19. I thought at the time in the year, what was that? It was 2000, 2001. We didn't call them bloggers then, so we just took the name from newspapers and called them columnists. So she launched her, what was the first blog ever done through NPR. We called it The Stitch. And she wrote about what it was like being interested in media and journalism while being in college. Today, and then she had a very interesting journey. She's the person who takes a job, gets the most out of it, and quits, and goes on to another job. So right now, she is on a Fulbright scholarship. She is in Uruguay, where her family is from. And she's teaching public radio at a university in Montevideo and doing it all in Spanish, something I think that is very, very needed here as well. So, as I said, I oversaw Next Generation Radio. We had, I thought when we launched the website in 2000, the website was an archive. It was a place where we could build a community, now that we talk about community building all the time. 15 years ago, that's what we did here. This is a screen grab from 2008. But as you can see, I had links to various and sundry things, useful sites people, students could go to. I promoted. I talked about the interns, the work they were doing, and what was happening after their internship, and aggregated it all in one spot. Here was where we had all the intern edition. Every group got to do their own page, got to do their own work. And we aggregated it there, and this is just an image of the 2005 summer intern group. The executive producer, Emily Schmall, just got married in March. I was at her wedding in Fort Worth. Jill Marcellus, in the photo in the above right, is now Jill Ryan, and she's working for On Point at WBUR in Boston. And Malika Bilal is now a producer and social media producer for Al Jazeera here in D.C. So that's where we are today and how we got there. Trying to figure out a way to best describe it. So there was external, there was internal. I think it was when I made the reference to raising my hand, I think it was one out of pity. I felt sorry for them. Nobody was helping them. But I also felt like that, and I think this is a message I try to tell all the stations, when, no matter how big or small their internship program is, that you've got to have somebody who pays attention. And George knows this more than anything, and that is you have to have that one person that they can go to no matter what the question is. It isn't always about a story. Sometimes it's about, where do I live? I spend a lot of time talking to former and current interns just about how to navigate applying for a job, or what's the station like? I really like public media. They don't do much on the web. What's wrong with that? I try to explain that too. They're all very digital first people, as George alluded to. So there are still some basic skill sets that they need to have. One of my biggest concerns is the ability to actually record sound and do it well. Not use earbuds, but use real headphones. Real headphones? What are those? Some of the things that I think that we have in our industry that are of extreme value to our audience, and holding on to some of those skill sets that we need to help tell stories. Amy, go back to the, you asked me a question about engagement. Rephrase it for, or say it again for me.
I was asking, you know, first of all, kind of what are the things that you do or don't do in order to keep an intern engaged and motivated, but at the same time, you know, being able to convey and nurture in them the sort of fundamentals that you're talking about, like, you know, actually using real headphones and recording things well for broadcast on a microphone.
I see. Okay. So one of the things, so I'll have to say that we don't do intern edition anymore. NPR decided that the needs of the show, which was to train people so we could hire them. We get lots of former, there's so many former interns now working at the network. They felt like that it was not necessary. I think also it had something to do with shrinkage. A lot of people got bought out, shows were canceled, staff reductions. But the intern program was kept. In fact, we pay year round, fall, spring, and summer. And even at the time when there was a $5 million deficit, the cost of doing the intern program, which is around $400,000, almost $500,000 a year, that was kept in the base budget. So that tells me that there was an extreme commitment to having younger people come in and work as interns. And so what we've done without doing the show is they've asked the managers to step up. And that is, when they bring in an intern, make sure that they have some demonstrable work that enables them to find a job. My role, even though I'm a consultant now, not a regular 40-hour-a-week staff member, is to, when I do go in the building, and I'll go in later today, is I actually have a conversation with the diversity intern, Ana Lucia, and she's going to be finishing up in the next month. And so I talked to her about, so what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? Where do you want to work? And I try to make sure that I stand in the intersection between what, you know, we have so many stations. I mean, they're all alike and they're all different. Have an understanding of what the leadership at the stations are looking for, not just in interns, but just in employees, and whether they have an opening or not. I want to have an understanding of what's their leadership philosophy. What are they looking for in people? What are their strategic plans look like? I spend a lot of time talking about those. So when the interns are finishing and there's an entry level position, and I try to push them to smaller markets as well, that they have a clear understanding of what they're applying for, and they have the skill set to be a successful candidate. Ultimately, I'd like them to get hired. Sometimes they don't, and that's okay. But at least after, if they do or they don't, you still have an ongoing conversation about what their needs are and what the stations, if not shows, are looking for. So some of the things I do, this is a screen grab from my tweet deck. And as you can see in the upper right where it says back to mentions, we picked our students for our next generation project in Reno, Nevada. And so one of the tiny things I can do is find out who our six students' Twitter handles are, and then just send out a shout out. And they all immediately started following, and they all became engaged. It's a very small thing, but it's actually a significant thing. I call it meet them where they are. They're on Twitter. So I go and meet them where they are. I talk about them. We're going to be doing a project next month, and they'll be very, very engaged there. You can see the type of people I follow. There was something I saw from NPR Digital Services about how impressed they were with a visit to GPB, but they didn't copy Celeste Headley or Tanya Ott, so I made sure that they saw that that tweet. So they know that NPR Digital Services says something nice about them. Again, having an understanding of what it's like at the station, paying attention to what's going on online, and I follow various and sundry other people as well.
The interns know that they know that you are networking on their behalf and doing recruitment, and that their managers at NPR are expected to make sure they've got something in their portfolio when they complete their internship that's theirs.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm imagining that is quite motivating.
Yeah, I think what I try to do is the cream rises to the top. So I don't do any presentations for every group, but what I do is it sounds very simple, but I walk around and I talk to people, and I carve out parts of my day for that. Like I mentioned this afternoon, I'm going to go in and I'm going to walk around, and I know who all the interns are, past and current. I know where they sit. I know what they're doing. They may not know exactly who I am, but if I don't know them, I introduce myself and I say, our system, our industry needs people who are sort of a conduit. So come talk to me if you want to. Not all of them do, because not all of them are going to stay in our industry. But the ones who do, I pay very close attention to.
Yeah.
And make sure that they know that it's possible. And I cited all those examples. There's a lot of success out there that we're having with people who come through as interns or next gen people who want to work in our system.
Yeah.
So I'll stop there for a moment.
Yeah, I want to bring Anne in on this as evidence of interns who've had success in the system and staying in the system. So Anne, for you, just as a place to start, logging tape, torture or rite of passage?
So being a reporter in the field, obviously I've had to log tape. As an intern, I've had to log tape. That having been said, if I can help it at all, I do not give interns tape to log. And the reason being is it's busy work, and I don't believe in giving people busy work. If that is the aptitude where they're at and that logging tape is obviously a valuable skill for them to learn, sure, but give it to them as a part of a larger assignment. Like if they're logging tape, they should be logging their own tape that they went out and collected themselves. Reporters shouldn't be handing tape off to interns to log. I just don't think that's the way things should work. And the same thing goes for like helping organize files or things like that. Like I feel like every minute that an intern is inside a newsroom, it has to be used in a meaningful way. That's just me.
Yeah, so talk a little bit about what your experience was like at WHYY. From what I understand, they did start you out with the basics, with logging tape and cutting sound for newscast and such. But you kind of asserted yourself and found an environment there that was amenable to that. Go ahead. Did we lose Anne? I don't know. Oh, yes. Anne is
sorry.
Go ahead. You were cutting out for a second.
Yep.
Just start over again.
Yep.
Okay. So before I get to my experience at WHYY, I would just like to give folks a little bit of background about myself, just not to stroke my ego, but rather just because my experience is a little bit different from other interns, and I believe that will kind of provide some insight. So I have a master's degree from the City University of New York Graduate School of Journalism. I have been working in journalism for about 6 or 7 years. I was in journalism for maybe think 5 years by the time I came to CUNY. I was working as a freelancer for several years, like since I was 18, I was a young starter. And part of the CUNY program, it's a year and a half program. There is a required internship dead center in the program. And the fabulous thing in my mind about that requirement is that the school actually pays people to do the internship, whereas newsrooms obviously don't always have that ability. The school will basically take that question mark out of the equation, which was fantastic, because I otherwise would have not had the opportunity to go intern at the first member station I interned at, which is HYY. And so having been a little older, for context for folks, I am 25, but I was 24 when I went to intern, or sorry, 23 when I went to intern with WHYY. And basically at that point, I had had a little bit of radio training at CUNY under my belt. That was after two semesters. So at that point, I'd had coaching on voice work. I had been out reporting. I know how to use the equipment. I know how to, at that point, I was trained on Pro Tools. So I came in the door with a lot of skills. WHYY is usually used to taking undergraduate interns who are pretty much learning that stuff for the first time. So what had happened was I started out kind of the same level as everybody else, which is I was basically asked to log tape for some people for the first couple of days. I was asked to assemble cut scripts or readers with tape, whatever you want to call them. And after a little bit, I just wasn't into it. And so I had gone out to do a cut script. I came back, and before going back to my news director, Gene, who may be on this call, hi if you are, but before going back to him, I basically, you know, snuck into one of the production studios and recorded the voice track myself, and basically mixed the piece myself. And I came to him and I said, hey, I want to know if it's okay for me to do my own voice track. And he's like, well, you know, we haven't really ever put interns on the radio. I'm not really sure. It's something I would like to work with you on. And I was like, oh, because I got this story assembled right over here, and I just wanted to know if you wanted it. So I gave it to him after kind of being a little persistent, and he's like, all right, if I like it, then we'll use it. But if I don't, then we'll work together on it. And I was like, all right, fine. So he came back to me later on the day, and he's like, it sounds great. You have the go-ahead to be on the air for the rest of the summer. And that's basically what I did, was every single day we would have a news meeting in the morning. He would dole out daily assignments, and I was basically treated the same way that a daily reporter was treated. I would get an assignment, I would kit up and go out, and I would come back and turn around a spot before the end of the day. And so I amassed tons of pieces for my portfolio. I was basically on the air almost every day. They even trusted me enough at some point to, you know, go – they paid for me to go to someplace on the South Jersey coast to follow a story. They trusted me enough to use their cars. I think that I had just pushed a lot for to be trusted with responsibilities, and in the end, you know, I was. And so since then, I was the first intern they took from my program, and I was the first graduate school intern that they took. Since then, there has been an intern the year after me from CUNY, and there is got news that there is a CUNY intern in place in the newsroom for the summer as well. The moral of my story is just be pushy.
Yeah, interns be pushy, and intern supervisors, you know, listen to the pushiness, right?
Yes. And the other thing is, I mean, like, if you are getting a lot of undergraduate interns, which you are, I mean, that's, you know, the nature of internships. Those folks, I think, as George said earlier, are not always going to be great at approaching you and telling you about their needs. Like, they're not always going to know how to be assertive just yet. They're still learning that. So I think it's a really important part where you look at them and you say, what are they working on? Have they been doing cut scripts for several weeks? Have they been logging tape for several weeks? Are they not producing anything? And then sit down with them and say, what do you see other reporters in this newsroom working on that you would like to do? Like, tell me about that. I think a big crucial part about making sure that somebody leaves that internship with things to show for it, not even just portfolio clips but experiences, is keeping an open line of contact with them and knowing what they need out of the internship, because everybody's needs are going to be different.
Yeah, I'll second a couple of things there that Anne, you just said. I mean, certainly busy work. Don't give your young reporters, again, you'll see that I stop myself short of saying students and interns. I've really drilled that into my head. But don't give young aspiring journalists busy work. I mean, that's just so, to me, something that's certainly not motivating. It's certainly not going to benefit their skill development. And if you do have to give them some level of work, as Anne said, make sure that it's something that is going to contribute to a story and be something that's valuable and meaningful, not just to take something else off of your plate. That's something that never happens here in our newsroom. No one will get busy work at all. You're either producing your own story or helping to produce a story, and at the end of the day, you will walk out of here knowing that you contributed to a product that you can be proud of. I had a young reporter yesterday who's new here this semester who did a cut copy. She did a cut copy and she called her mom to tell her mom to listen to the 6 o'clock newscast to hear her cut copy. I love that. I love the fact that she was proud of that cut copy, and she knows she'll advance, you know, that she's not going to get stuck there. And just to Anne's other point is you do need to have those conversations. What more do you want to be doing? Where can we take you next? What more can I be doing? We have these conversations all the time. In fact, we're having a news meeting this afternoon at 2:30, where this is the end of our semester, where we're going to be talking about and revisiting what did you gain from the semester? What could we have done differently? What do you wish you have done more? And I also, we do exit interviews with our folks just to understand, what did you get? What could we have done differently? And we readjust our strategies based on what we learn from the young journalists who come through our newsroom.
Yeah, and I want to say, George, I know about WFUV. I was living in New York City before. I'm a big admirer of that program. Actually, I went to school with Mary Eileen Croak, who went through WFUV.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think a big piece of what makes that model work, and also what makes, you know, my master's program work, was that you're not treated like a student. The way that the CUNY J School is modeled is that it's modeled like a newsroom, and people are coming in there from different levels of experience, but you're not treated like a student. You're treated like a freelance journalist from the minute you get in the door. You're given business cards. You don't tell sources over the phone that you're a student or you're an intern. You are a reporter, and I think that that should extend to interns. Interns are reporters. When I was at WHYY for the summer and I talked to sources on the phone, I said, I'm a reporter from WHYY. And, you know, with that goes all the trust and responsibility, like George was saying, that, you know, you don't give them busy work. I hate giving interns busy work. I never do it if I can help it.
Yeah. We've got a few minutes left here. So if you've got questions that are burning that we're not getting to, please type them into the chat box and I will ask them. And then I'm just going to, you know, circle back on a couple of points. George, you mentioned that you end up weeding out students, weeding out aspiring journalists who kind of don't make it. Can you talk a little bit about that and sort of what do you do when you get an intern who seems great and enthusiastic and then kind of turns out to be a dud?
Yeah, I mean, I think just to clarify that, I would say more often than not, they're weeding themselves out. And either you'll see that they're not putting in, they're all, they're showing up late, they're you know, they're not showing up and not calling. And we have those challenging conversations, like you would have a challenging conversation with any full-time staff member. You know, what's going on? You know, I noticed that you're not really putting in everything that you can, or I really thought that this story would have been something else. And then what they'll do is they'll tell you, you know what, I really don't have interest in this, or I thought I wanted to do this and I'm not, but I didn't want to let you down. Sometimes we hear that as well, and that's just, you know, very endearing to hear. But I'm like, you know, you're not trying to please me. I want you to be successful. I want you to do well. So you tell me, is it something that you're doing in here that we can make you do differently? And sometimes that's happened. We've had reporters who we've had cover the mayor or cover breaking news, and you'll see they're just not engaged with it. And then we'll have that conversation. You know, I noticed that you just really seem down about this. What's going on? You know, I really, my heart's not in it. I don't feel it. Well, what do you think you want to do? You know, I love what you do on your public affairs show. I'd love to get involved with that. And we've had, then I've shift their gears, and then they work on our public affairs shows, whether that's mine, Cityscape, or Rodman's Fordham Conversations, and they flourish in there. They love doing, production work. They didn't, their heart wasn't into you know, doing day of, daily grind, you know, pounding the pavement types of stories. But they love producing, and they love maybe, softer related features. And so really it's having those conversations. It's really paying attention, very careful attention. And I I really always say this has nothing to do with the fact that they're young reporters. I mean, I'll go back to using the word students. I hope this happens in any newsroom with any staff member, and these kinds of conversations happen. But that's really how we get to it, and then they weed themselves out because they'll realize over time, hey, this is not for me. But if we do notice there's a lack of engagement, we have those conversations, and then they're. Just last semester, we had somebody who one would consider a flake. But, you know, we're not just going to let them go. We want to understand what's going on. And then we realize that they're just not interested. And they say, you know what, thanks, but I want to do other things. This is not what I plan to do for a living. By all means, don't feel like you have to continue this. Go on and we'll help you as all we can to be as successful as you can in any other area. But we have those talks.
Yeah. For you, Anne, what were the things that you got out of your internship or internships that you find coming into play now in your job?
I think a lot of the day-to-day reporting was just helpful in so many ways. Like, it just helped me gain a lot of more confidence. It helped me work a lot quicker. And I can turn out scripts a lot quicker than I used to. Like, a radio script used to take me forever and ever and ever before that. But it helped me kind of like build really good relationships with other reporters, because there were some times where I would be helping out another reporter covering something. We had in Philly that summer that I was there, there were a couple of building collapses. So there were like, we needed a reporter on the scene basically by shifts. And there was like a day where, you know, I was the only like actual intern that was made, that was like put on a shift at that scene. So that was really nice that I was like, I felt trusted enough not only by my news director, but by other reporters. So I think that was really helpful. I think it also just let me, you know, learn how to be organized with my notes and everything like that. But, you know, it points to the larger picture of just like, I gained a lot of really great reporting experience that I don't think a lot of other internships would have allowed me to gain, either by, you know, not having the resources or being too hesitant to rely on an intern to the extent that WHYY relied on me. And also just, you know, tackling things. I mean, here at WRKF, I'm normally a reporter, as Amy mentioned, but for the last few months, I have been filling in as operations director. And that's just because I can be trusted. Like, I can tackle things. Like, I have already demonstrated that here. I demonstrated that at WHYY. And I don't think, look, I've always been pushy, but like, I don't think that I had really had enough confidence in my abilities as a journalist to assert myself before I had that experience at HYY, which I think was just very valuable.
Yeah, great. Doug, you've talked a lot about, you know, how interns that have gone through NPR's program for sure, and folks that you've worked with in the other mentorship programs that you've been involved in, you know, end up somewhere in the system. For stations, you know, what do you think the goal should be? Should they be saying, well, you know, if this intern isn't someone I can hire here, why should I bother? Or you know, what are the things that a station newsroom manager should be thinking about in terms of what they get out of having an intern in their newsroom?
Okay, well, good. I think one of the things I'm noticing is, I'll refer to the program Serial. There are many, many young people today who can go off and do their own podcast. They can, they want to do some form of storytelling. I don't hear a lot of discussion about becoming journalists and news reporters and such. There's the short attention span society that we live in today. So I think it would be, from a system standpoint, a holistic system standpoint, I think it's really important that if you do have one intern or whether you have 30 interns, it's a lot like what George is doing. I think that you engage them, you put them to work, they do meaningful work, they're having an opportunity to make some mistakes and learn from those mistakes. You're not there necessarily for yourself. You can, if you're going to grow your own people, which is really important. I think our industry needs us to grow our own people, because they're going to go elsewhere. And they are. They actually are going elsewhere. I've seen people come in, you know, they've had successful internships. One in particular left to go to Marketplace, came back to NPR, and left a year later to go someplace else. I don't refer to that as youthful impatience as it was having big ideas about what he wanted to do with his career. We have we don't have the timeline that we used to. They say in sports that nobody gets five seasons anymore to really develop a winner. They have to do it right away. In a sense, we have to do kind of the same thing. We have to identify who we want, how we want them, but also have to have an understanding of what's the goal of this, what's the goal of the station. I think you can have, like, not everybody's going to stay, and that's fine. But I think we really have to pay attention to those who want to be with us, and then use whatever resources as a community, as an industry, to make sure that we, not just me, not just those of us on this call, but all of us have and are sharing who's out there that we need to know about.
Yeah. George, did you have anything to add to that? I mean, I think as you were sharing earlier, a lot of WFUV interns have fanned out in different spots across the system, and maybe you can talk a little bit about how that kind of pays WFUV back in terms of interest or recruitment, you know, into the ongoing young journalist newsroom.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, I mean, my hope is that they always stay within the system. There's no question about that. And we talk a lot here, and it's part of our training program, to talk about public radio core values and the five tiers of public radio journalism. We really do. We instill in them all of that. And sometimes they do want to go into television, but they understand that they have their foundation in journalism here. So regardless of where they go, I just want to make sure that they're walking out with a solid foundation of really our values in journalism, and they can apply that to whatever medium, but of course I always want them to remain in the system selfishly. But it does certainly come back to us. I mean, and they remember it, and they remember the conversations that we have, and they remember you know, the amount of time that we put in to help them to hone their craft, and they do tell other people about where they got that experience from. And it does come back to WFUV because of that. Something else I'll also just point out here real quick is that within the last couple of years, WFUV for many, many years was very independent of the university, even in terms of no overlap with the Communications and Media Studies Department as well. And over the last couple of years, I've been talking a lot to them, and we're fostering new ground there and developing new relationships where a lot of what was here at Fordham focused on theory is now turning practical. And I think that's thanks to our conversation as well, which is also a big draw for the university to really, leverage the opportunities that WFUV has to afford in bringing in students who are coming here specifically because they're interested in going into journalism and hopefully into public radio. I'm excited to say that, those conversations, I think, helped to grow a new graduate program that's going to launch in 16, fingers crossed, on public media. We'll be offering a master's degree in public media, two different tracks on that, strategic communication and public media journalism, which is another exciting opportunity. And I think that, WFUV's place here will certainly allow for a lot more opportunities. But no question. In terms of when they're fanning out, I am always having conversations with them about, hey, did you see this job opportunity, especially now where we have graduating seniors. The biggest obstacle that we encounter is that they're in New York City and they don't want to leave New York City, and I have to really have conversations with them and get the heck out of here and go tell good stories. There are good stories to tell anywhere, across this country. Find the place that's going to allow you to continue the growth that you've had here. And then, if you really want to come back to New York City, but oftentimes they don't because they realize that New York City is not the be all and end all. But I do face that a lot with some of our young reporters who want to stay here. And then, to me, get stuck here. They go to like New York One, which is a television station, which is fine. But I don't think, the production assistant job is going to be as rewarding for you going forward if you want to be somebody who really wants to tell good stories.
Yeah. Well, amazingly, we have come to the end of an hour. I really want to thank you, George Bodarkey, news director at WFUV, for your contributions, Doug Mitchell of NPR and Points Elsewhere, and Anne-Marie Awad, who is managed to get out of New York City and come to Baton Rouge, for which I am very grateful, as I am Amy Jeffries, and I'm the news director at WRKF here in Baton Rouge. So thank you all so much for being here. If there are other questions that come up that you didn't hear answered today, tweet at us at Prindy, Facebook at us, Prindy Swap Shop at us, email George or Doug or myself or Anne.
Oh, could I make a plug while we're on the phone? I'm sorry.
Plug it up.
Our NEFI Prindy Award and Scholarship, the deadline is Friday. Personal finance reporting. If you have something, enter to win $1,000 and a free trip to the Prindy Conference, please.
Wow.
Details at prindy.org. Don't miss out. Okay.
And I just want to mention that because I'm not technically in Prindy, I'm like an underling. If anybody wants to contact me, my email address is ann@wrkf.org, and my Twitter handle is Ann Awad, A-N-N-A-W-A-D.